Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, I'd like to continue what I was saying last time, talking about the widow of Zarephath and how come she believed the prophet Elijah when he showed up at her door suddenly demanding her last meal to be given to him with a promise that the food will never finish, all right? The flour in her house and the oil will never finish. Last time we were talking about that, and that's in continuation of our discussion on the force of faith. Please don't forget what we have said, that faith is a force. It actually brings down the blessing of God, that it's a force. It actually goes out and forcefully brings things down from heaven. That is, we must have an expectation of what that faith we do. When the word of God is preached to us, all right, and we believe it, whatever that word promises will be delivered to us. Habakkuk chapter 2, this was where we started from. He said, as for the proud man, his soul is not right within him, but the just shall live or acquire life by his faith. That is, anyone who's walking by faith will discover that where he or she should have died, life will be injected. Where he or she should have failed, success will become his or her portion. That's what faith does, and we've been examining that. Now, the last thing that we have been on, which I want to continue today again, is that issue of the ability to believe. In Mark chapter 11 and in Mark chapter 9, we read about the concept, all right, that there is an ability. Jesus said, if you can attain the level of believing, then nothing will be impossible to the man who so believes. I told a story last time of a man who was a great man of faith, but who prayed for his wife, and she didn't get the kind of healing that he would have gotten under the circumstances. And he asked her simply, what can you believe? And the woman said, I can believe that I will have a successful surgery. And she believed that, and they prayed, and she had an extremely successful surgery. Are you getting the point there? That is, you know, I said that we shouldn't just start acting on other people's faith. We should act on our own faith. What you can't believe, don't act on it. What you can believe is what you act on. The fact that you act does not guarantee results if the action is not motivated by real faith. So we're not talking about this ability to believe. I said we all have to cultivate the ability to believe. And we said, as an example, this woman, the widow of Zarephath, how did she attain the ability to believe a total stranger? And how did she consequently get her results from believing that man? We said there are things that we do that build up faith in our lives. Number one, we picked from the book of Romans chapter 1, is the matter of acknowledging God and giving him thanks. I said food, the basic thing Jesus never took for granted. Food was all around him. Many people would have died willingly just to give Jesus his food. But each time he would receive food, he never forgot to give God thanks. That is, I said the other day that there are times I hold up a glass of water. Now, as you know, this is Enugu here. Plenty of rain falls here. One cannot really say water is a scarce thing, all right? Because it falls down from heaven. Yet, I lift a glass up and I will stare at it and say, Father, I thank you that this glass of water is mine to consume. I said that thankful attitude is our fundamental when it comes to the matter of walking in faith. That is where we begin to build our faith up from. Now, the next thing I began to talk about is the issue of faith walking by love. And we are using two people as examples. The first, which we have already begun to examine, is the widow of Zarephath. And next, I'll talk about Ruth, the Ruth of Naomi. Now, so we stopped last time talking about this widow of Zarephath. Her story is in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. We saw how Elijah came to her house, and for all the records that we have, a total stranger he was. And he demanded her last meal, promising that the word of God will not allow the food to finish. And the woman acted upon it. And I said that many of us looking for breakthrough, trying to become blessed in life, this is where we have focused on. That just give your last meal and God will not fail. And we established by reading from the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10, that God says, I test all hearts and I examine motives before I give people reward. That you cannot say God just said give. No. God is interested in the motive. Why am I giving? And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that if my giving is not motivated by love, and that means there is no profit. Do you get my point? No matter the story people tell, this is just by the way again, sometimes people tell stories, all right, to validate their practice as if I did it and it worked. Listen to me. Doctrine is based upon the recorded word of God, not upon people's experiences. We know that God said, I judge motives. I don't just judge the action. I judge motives. If I'm giving and I'm giving because of me, then I have profited nothing. That's what Paul said. That is, when I want to give and I will get results from it, it must be because I'm motivated by love. Widow of Zarephath, we're examining her. So what was her own situation? I ended last time by explaining that she gave to Elijah because it was her habit. She was a person full of love. Please, don't let's forget this thing. God recognizes, all right? With God, it matters a lot when we give to people who are in need. I like the way Paul said it in the book of Philippians chapter 4. We all like to quote it. And my God shall supply all my your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But read the preceding verses. That's in verse 15. That Philippians chapter 4. He said, and you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. And then I said, when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me gifts several times. He said, now please, what I want you to notice this. Verse 18, he said, I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Notice this. When people give to others, when people help those who need their support, God notices, even if they are not motivated by our kind of selfishness. Do you understand by that? That is, okay, I'm giving this so that God might give me back. In fact, those are the ones that God does not notice. The one that God notices is that you give to somebody who is in need simply because you want the person to be blessed. I said, faith, we read, is motivated by love. He said, faith works by love. You see, when I was studying the scriptures, I noticed only two people that Jesus said their faiths were great. Now, please, I need to emphasize this spirit of faith in and great faith matter very seriously. Because Jesus went around preaching. He had disciples follow him who sat down at his table, at his feet, and they heard everything he said. Only two times did this refer to people's faith as being great. One of them is the story of the Roman centurion, who, when Jesus wanted to come to his house, to come and heal his servant, simply said to the Lord Jesus, he said, you don't need to come. I am a man under authority, and I'm also a man over authority. If you know what I'm going to say. He said, I have soldiers under me. He said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. You don't have to go that distance. And Jesus said, I have been around Israel. I have not seen any faith as great as this. Notice something. He was not praying for a car. He was not praying for a house. He was not even praying for his own healing. He was praying for the healing of his servant. Are you getting the point? Faith works by love. Another example, the Syrophoenician woman who was not even an Israelite. Are you getting my point? Just like this Roman centurion. Interestingly enough, the two people that Jesus used the expression great faith concerning were not Israelites. They were people who were so concerned about others, and they approached the Lord because of somebody else. Are you getting what I'm going to say? The Syrophoenician woman came to pray for her daughter. Her prayer was for her daughter. And Jesus said, I can't give it to you. The bread belongs to the children. And actually insinuated that compared to the Jews, she was a dog. And the woman said, well, anything you like, call me. Just heal my daughter. He said, at least one thing I know is that even though the healing is bread and it belongs to the children and I'm not one of them, I'm equivalent to a dog where the children are standing. He said, don't crumbs fall from the table when children eat? And Jesus looked and said, daughter, great is your faith. Now, it is to you according to what you have requested. This hour, your daughter is made whole. I'm bringing out something. Jesus said, great is your faith. And let me explain something I said, which I said a few sessions ago. I said, this great faith is ministered by God, by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, there are diversities of manifestation. One of them, he said, is faith by that Spirit. Now, get the point. That is, God, when he saw the love in the heart of these people, for the people they were praying for, then he stimulated faith in their hearts by supplying them with a Spirit. It was that love in them that brought the faith into existence. Because I'm explaining something here. That, you see, our selfishness is the reason why we have not been able to have great faith. We're talking about the widow of Zarephath. Well, that's what we have been on. This woman did not... Look, listen, the way all of us know it, she didn't know the Bible like that. She didn't understand God, maybe, the way we all understand him. But a man showed up at her door. That's what I'm explaining. And he's not the first to show up so in such a manner. He showed up, and others that had showed up in previous time had gotten food there. Are you getting me? The neighbors who had not been so kind, who had not walked in love, could not stimulate that kind of faith. Listen to what I'm saying. If Elijah had walked up to her, their doors, they would have done to him what they did in previous times. They would just shut the door and say, thief, he has come again. Yeah, are you getting my point? That we know your types. Are you getting me? We know your types. Remember, neighbor, when they said David came here begging for food. He said, who is David? All these strangers who just run up and down these days. We know their types. They run away from their masters and they start going from one place to the other. You know, that's the kind of response a man with a wicked heart will have given. What am I explaining? This is I'm trying to answer the question I asked earlier. How did the woman know that he was a true prophet? How did the woman know that his words will come to pass? I have two answers for you. Number one, which I think is the more likely answer, she did not know and she did not care. She was just willing to. The man looked hungry. He had walked a great distance from that brook. He had walked a great distance to get to where she was. He was obviously thirsty and he was most certainly hungry. It didn't make any difference to her. Second point, maybe this was what God used. God could have warned her by dreams and visions. It is possible, but I think that's less likely. Are you getting my point? God could have done that, but even if God did that, that takes me to another story. The story of Cornelius. Even if God did that, it will be for a reason. Why did God bless Cornelius? Let's quickly look at that. That's in Acts chapter 10. I'd like to read the introduction about his life in the first few verses. He said, now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. Now notice the description of this man. A devout man, a man who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the people and prayed to God continually. Please, I need to repeat that again. This was a description of this Roman centurion. He was a devout man, a man who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the people and prayed to God continually. Now, why am I reading the story of Cornelius? We know that Cornelius was converted to Christianity in his early days when nobody around him actually had heard of Christianity, because God had to send Peter from a great distance to Cornelius, and Cornelius believed. Now, what I just want to bring out is how God stimulated faith in his heart. Listen, if God were to show you a great vision with a little prompting of your heart, you too will believe. What did God do to him? About the ninth hour of the day, the Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 10, the book of Acts, that he clearly saw in a vision. I like the word clearly. No confusion. This was definitely a vision. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him. And the angel said, Cornelius. And he answered, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. I told him where Peter was staying, and they went and called Peter. This one I'm trying to make. Even if what God had to do for the widow of Zarephath was to show her a vision ahead of time, you will see that there was a reason for it. Because that was what he did with Cornelius. He saw the kindness in the heart of Cornelius. He saw the fact that Cornelius prayed to God and showed his little faith. You know, because everybody has a seed of faith in his heart. That's why I spoke in previous times about the power of thanksgiving. People who are not constantly giving God thanks, they are killing the seed of faith that God has placed in their heart. This man looked, I believe, at himself. He was a man of influence. He was a man of means. And he looked at the people of God who he had heard that maybe these are the people of God. And he began to help them. He was able to help the poor, for from his heart, kindness rose up. Are you getting my point? And that, according to Paul in that Philippians chapter 4 that we read a while ago, we saw that that kind of kindness rises up to God as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Do you get my point? Let me say this again. Because it's so common with Christians, but it's a passion of my heart to correct it in the hearts of Christians, because it's not right. People think that when you give because you need, you are giving to God. Listen, you are not. You are giving to your need. You are giving to yourself. And I say it boldly as one who understands the ways of God, that it is not acceptable as a sacrifice. It is not a sacrifice. It's an investment. Are you getting my point? It is not a sacrifice. A sacrifice, if you read the scriptures, you will see two things used to happen to sacrifices. One, you either frankly gave it out, or two, you killed it. Are you getting my point? Now, there were no third ways to handle sacrifices. You either gave them out. That was how Hannah sacrificed Samuel. Took Samuel and dropped him in the temple and walked away. Periodically, that once a year she would come and remember to make him clothes and drop him there. That is, this is no longer my son. I have given him. That's a sacrifice. Are you getting what I'm saying? The problem with us is that we copy actions with the results the previous people got. Alright, in our minds, not bothering to learn their motives. Do you get my point? We don't learn motives. We lie to ourselves that motives don't count with God. But listen to me, motives count. Motives count. I read a statistic some time ago. It said 1 out of every 10 businesses started closes in the first 5 years. Of the surviving one, gather 10 of their types, then another 9 will close in the next 5 years. In effect, at the end of 10 years, only 1 out of 100 businesses survive. Now, there are physical reasons. I read a book some time ago, and the author was writing about mistakes that otherwise good executives have made and that collapsed their businesses. And that's the physical realm. But there is what Solomon calls something beyond the sun. That is, he said, we have looked under the sun. Let's now look beyond the sun. Beyond the sun, this is what we need to understand. There are spiritual reasons why those businesses collapse. And I can tell you one major spiritual reason. They were born of selfishness. They were not born of any dream to bless anybody. Born purely of selfishness. Are you getting my point? I'm explaining something that faith actually works by love. The widow of Zarephath, why did she believe Elijah? Simply because of the typical love she had had in previous times. Elijah was not the first person she was given to. At least, you know, a man shows up to, you know, in the presence of people who have never given to anybody. I say, give your last meal and God will bless you. When I hear those things, I laugh because it's not true. You have never given your first meal to anybody. You have never given your second meal to anybody. You've not given your middle meal to anybody. It's the day you are in need, suddenly you want to give your last meal so you can get. Listen to me. There was a movie I watched some time ago. They were a group of lawyers. They were suing big companies and getting caught, all right, from damages. And then they went into serious distress. And I laughed. This was not a Christian movie. It was just a normal movie. And one of the people in distress in the law office said to their boss, he said, do you know yesterday I sent $200 to a television preacher? He said, because the man said, the reason why you are not getting is because you are not giving. When he saw the amount of distress their company was in, he quickly sent a check for $200. I saw it and I laughed. I said, my God, it profits nothing. Do you get my point? That gift in itself doesn't profit anything. You never remembered God until now. Now that you are in distress, let me just say this. Because many people say that, I know people who do such things and they got results. Listen, God is very kind. God does not check accuracy of doctrine before he blesses people sometimes. Such a man, out of desperation, will do anything, including pray. If you add that gift to it, he will also give. And God will not cancel the answer to his prayer just because he gave. Do you follow my point? Now, you get what I'm saying? If that same man had knelt down and prayed, God would still have answered him out of his kindness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, we must get this point clear. The widow of Zarephath was able, we're talking about the ability to believe, don't forget that. She was able to believe the stranger because the Spirit of God, the same type that he sent into the heart of Cornelius by visions, the same Spirit was sent into the heart of this woman. And she saw a stranger. And without thinking about it, she obeyed what the stranger said. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, that is a spiritual manifestation which was born upon the heart that was kind and was loving. So it said in Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, faith works by love. I hope you've gotten the point. I hope you've gotten the point. So what have I said so far? Please, crisis giving is not what helps. Faith is born of a constant walk with God. Are you getting my point? That's what we're using that one to emphasize. We've talked about the power of thanksgiving. Now I'm talking about the power of love, the power of kindness, being willing to be a blessing to other people. I said something about those businesses that I said earlier, that the businesses collapsed mostly because they were born out of what? Selfishness. They were not born out of the desire to bless people. Are you getting what I'm saying? That they were not born out of, we must give something to people. Now most that survive, you go and check some that will be there. You will see that these people, all of them will have had rough times. All of them will have had rough times. But the Bible said that the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. Now, I said this when I was talking about motivation for living. That the Bible said that the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. What does that mean? That is, if you see a footballer, he's on this pitch, he's playing. Now, you will not understand how much trauma he's going through. You see a man running at almost the speed that will make him win 100 meter gold, right? In Olympics, that's 100 meters dash. He's running so fast, you tackle him, he falls at that speed. Listen, that's not a joke. But as soon as he finishes falling, what does he do? He gets up again. looks at your dam and says, my enemy, don't rejoice over me. Even if I fall seven times, I will still win this UEFA Cup. Do you get the point I'm making? Why? Because he has a UEFA Cup in his eyes. He has it in his mind. He can see there's a goal in front of him. That is why he can overcome his infirmity. So he said, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. Are you getting my point? That is the drive inside a man. I remember the story I told then when we were talking about that motivation for living. I told the story I heard of when Muhammad Ali fought George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. A friend of mine was analyzing it for me. Of course, many years later, we're discussing it. He said, Foreman beat Ali so bad. Actually, I watched different analysis of it. I saw it on TV. Foreman beat Ali so bad that his kidneys actually ruptured. People didn't know. But Ali just refused to fall down. Because his strategy was, take all the beating. This guy will not last beyond the first few rounds. I watched the analysis by, I think, Ali's coach or Foreman's, one of them. And they showed it. As soon as Ali gave Foreman a blow, one of the blows that finally sent the guy packing, they showed the shower of sweat that dropped from, that is, that flew off the guy's face. Because he had exerted so much energy for merely one man. Before that, nobody would go beyond the second round with Foreman. Ali just relaxed on the ropes and took the beating for the first few rounds until the man was worn out. Foreman beat him so bad, this next morning the man went to the toilet to go and ease himself. Part of what he was producing was blood. That's the amount of beating Foreman had given him. But did he fall? No. Why? Because the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He has somewhere he was going. A friend of mine, when we were discussing this, I said, this is your business that you started. If it doesn't make profit in the first 3 years, are you going to shut it now? He said, of course not. I said, why not? Then he got my point. Because for him, it's not about money. Do you get my point? It is about producing something. It's about helping some young men, helping some young women, helping the society, helping the community. As long as God will supply his bread, he will continue. His friend said, if you go to this place, this kind of business, you make $1 million in 6 months. He said, but at the end of the day, do you get the point? Does it produce what I want to produce? Now, you've heard me say this. People say that, your mates are doing this. I said, but they have not written Great Faith Can Be Yours. They have not written Choice is Key to Destiny. They have not written By Faith Acquire Life. They have not written The Blessing. They have not written Here on Purpose. They have not written The Law of Life. They have not preached over 350 digitally archived messages. They have not preached on The Way of Success for 3 years non-stop. That is it. This is my own. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? My friends can build houses, they can buy cars, they can buy land, they can have hundreds of millions of naira. It doesn't change what I am doing. My greatest blessing is when I go somewhere and a total stranger walks up to me and says, sir, I hear you are Pastor Banky. Are you getting my point? That is, when I hear of lives which has been transformed, and I thank God because I'm preaching, do you get my point? So we're not even calculating, did you make money or you don't make money? I'm not supposed to make money. That's besides the point. But unfortunately, people don't realize that the same thing happens with businesses also. The first thing is not money, is the goal that we are going for. I'm explaining something. That is how faith works by love. So you now find that the man's faith, because you see, I say it all the time, life is spiritual. God helps people. Let me say it again. If God sees the right heart, he helps people. He said, for the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth, looking for the opportunity, so that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. God helps people. If you have the right motive, God will help you succeed in life. That's what we're talking about. You will find faith. I said something the other time that I saw an advert in which they described a young girl who could see patterns in the midst of chaos. You've heard stories of people like Michelangelo or people like him who will see a block of wood. Somebody wants to throw it away. He said, why are you throwing away such a precious? He said, what's precious in it? This is just a block of wood. No, I can see an angel inside. Are you getting my point? And they take the wood home and they begin to chip away little by little, maybe a lump of granite. At the end of a few weeks of work, you see, they said they have just freed the angel that was inside. They've removed all the other parts of the stone. Why? Because they could see what others couldn't see. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? And that's how God helps people. He gives you a vision of what other people can see. Sometimes you are talking with people and you just can't understand why they can't see what you are seeing. Those days I want to argue, but this day I don't bother anymore. I have understood that if God doesn't open your eyes, you will not see. It's a spiritual thing. People who can see good in the nation, All right? And they are not being deceived. They really can see it. It's because they have love for that nation. Listen, there are opportunities everywhere. Listen, there are opportunities. You want the kind of opportunities you will see depends on your kind of heart. If you are one that believes that life owes you, you will see the opportunities to beg and sweep and pack gutter all over the world. You know, there are good jobs in Australia. You get there, you are carrying cement. You don't mind. That's all you can see. Do you get my point? It's because God opened your eyes to see the one that your love for people allowed the faith to that proportion to be developed. And what I'm saying is making sense here. I've told all these stories to let us understand about the ability to believe. The widow of Zarephath was able to believe Elijah because of the kind of person she was. Now, my time is running out today, but I still want to talk about Ruth, and I'll talk about Abraham a bit. I will understand the principle behind this. Now, remember Ruth. The story is in the book of Ruth in the Bible. Ruth was a Moabitess. If you read the story of the Israelites, you know it was forbidden for them to enter into the congregation of Israel. But you know, faith triumphs. Are you getting my point? Faith triumphs over written laws. There is a spirit in faith that makes every handwriting written against you to become inconsequential. That's what we're talking about. But how did she get it? You know the story. Elimelech was the husband of Naomi. Country was bad. Packed his family, his wife, two sons, and they went into a neighboring country for greener pastures. After a while, he died. The two sons married. Each one of them died shortly after. One married a lady named Opa, and the other one married a lady named Ruth. Then when the two men died, there they were, the three women, the mother, Naomi, and Ruth, and Opa. And Naomi wanted to go back home. Please, get this picture clearly. Naomi was going to be destitute, and that was what was Ruth's main concern. She couldn't bear to see her mother-in-law destitute. That was why she was willing to sacrifice herself, all right, for her. And like I say all the time, Ruth was not as concerned about the God of Naomi as she was concerned about the Naomi of that God. I hope you got that point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.